So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, entitled The Descent of the River Ganges, text number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So again, this text or this verse is in prose format. So therefore, I'll read the verse once. We go word to word and then go to the translation. Tatra chaturda diyamana chaturbihu nama bis chatur disam abis pantanti nada nadipatin eva dinis vinisati sita laka nanda chakshur bhatri. Tatra. There.
There.
On the top of Mount Meru.
On top of Mount Meru.
Chaturda.
Chaturda.
Into four branches.
Vidyamana.
Being divided.
Chaturbi.
With four.
Namabi.
Names. Chaturdisam.
Chaturdisam.
The four directions.
East,
west, north, and south.
Abhis
pandanti.
Profusely,
profusely flowing.
Nada
nadi
patin.
The reservoir of all great rivers.
The ocean.
Eva.
Certainly.
Abhini visati.
Enters.
Sita alakananda.
Sita
and Alakananda.
Chakshu.
Chakshu.
Badra.
Badra.
Iti.
Known by these names.
Known by these names.
Translation. Only by Srila Prabhupada. On top of Mount Meru, the Ganges divides into four branches, each of which gushes into different directions. East, west, north, and south. These branches, known by the name Sita, Alakananda, Chakshu, and Badra, flow down the ocean. There is no purport for this verse, so we move on to the next one. Translation. The branch of the Ganges, known as Sita, flows through Brahmapuri atop Mount Meru, and from there it runs down to the nearby peaks of the Kesarachara mountain, which stand almost as high as Mount Meru itself. These mountains are like a bunch of filament around the Mount Meru. From the Kesarachala mountain, the Ganges flows to the peak of Gandamadana mountain and then flows into the land of Bhadraswavarsha. Finally, it reaches the ocean of salt water in the east. There is a typo, we'll come back to that. Yeah? We have got a display now, I'm going to have a display of just to show what it is and how the Ganges is flowing through, you know. And see, for me, as a layman, when I read it, I did not follow anything. So I thought, it's better we have a topology, you know. Just small things only to understand how the mountains are placed, so that we have a good view. As if we are seeing from the bird's view, from the top we are going to see how the Ganges flows. How massive Ganges is. So we have a illustration. So, where Mount Meru is at the top, and you can see, if you see me as a north, my head north, my feet in the south, My right hand is east and my left hand is west. If you see that, if I am Mount Meru there, then Gandhamadana is on the east and Malyavan forest there on the west. And therefore, it is in the east. Because if you see the next verse, it says west. Yeah? Okay. And so, there is no purport again for this verse. We are moving to text number 7. The branches of the Ganges, known as Chakshu, falls onto the summit of Malyavan mountain, actually which is on the west. And from there, cascades onto the land of Ketumala Varsha. The Ganges flows inconsistently through Ketumala Varsha and in this way also reaches the ocean of the salt water in the west. That is correct. Then text 8. Translation. The branch of the Ganges, known as Bhadra, flows from the northern side of Mount Meru. Its water fall onto the peak of Kumuda Mountain, Mount Nila, Sweta Mountain, and Shringavan Mountain in succession. Then it runs down into the province of Kuru, and after crossing through the land, flows into the saltwater ocean in the north. Text number 9. Fortunately, Srila Prabhupada has given the purport. So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Translation. Similarly, the branch of the Ganges known as Alakananda flows from the southern side of Brahmapuri, Brahma Sadhanam, passing over the mountain, top of mountains in various lands. It falls down with a fierce force upon the peak of mountain Hemakuta and Himakuta. After inundating the tops of this mountain, the Ganges flows down onto the track of the land known as Bharatvarsha, which is basically, it is at India, which he also inundates. Then the Ganges flows into the ocean of salt water in the south. That is basically the Bay of Bengal. Persons who come to bathe in this river are fortunate. It is not very difficult for them to achieve this every step. The results of performing great sacrifices like the Rajasriya and Ashwamedha Yagyas. Okay. It's a very short and sweet purport by Srila Prabhupada. Just one paragraph. So let us listen to that and then we'll start. The place where the Ganges flows into the salt water of the Bay of Bengal is still known as Ganga Sagara, or the meeting place of the Ganges and the Bay of Bengal. Did anyone go to Ganga Sagara? Okay. On Magara Sankranti, in the month of January, February, thousands of people still go there to bathe, hoping to be liberated. That they can actually be liberated in this way is confirmed hearing. For those who bathe in the Ganges at any time, the results of great sacrifices like the Ashwamedha and Rajasuya Yagya are not at all difficult to achieve. Most people in India are still inclined to bathe in the Ganges, and there are many places where they can do so. At Prayag, Allahabad, many thousands of people gather during the month of January to bathe in the confluence of the Ganges and Yamuna. Afterwards, many of them go to the confluence of the Bay of Bengal and the Ganges to take bath there. This is the very special facility for all the people of India, that they can bathe in the water of the Ganges at so many places of pilgrimage. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurve Sri Chaitanya Manopisam Sapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamahi Tadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Prasada Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So the title is, of this chapter is a descent of the river Ganges. We are on to the text number
9.
We finished, but actually on the board, which text is there?
5.
So, up to 4, let us see what it is telling you. During the pastime of Bali Maharaj, yeah, all of us know that. At the third step, when the Lord lifted, second step, isn't it? First step. Yeah. When the Lord lifted his toe, there was a crack, or you can see a pierce in the Kashyap Ocean. Now the Kashyap Ocean can also be known as Viraja River, which is dividing the material and the spiritual worlds. Yes, it's clear? Now when the Lord pierced the hole, then the Ganges flowed. Not many. You know, few drops is enough. Yeah, it went. And then what happened was, it is said here, it was taken on the top of the head by the sequence, by Lord Shiva. Okay, the first one to take was, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam text, Lord Shiva. Then the Ganges went to purify below, that is Dhruva planet. Then after Dhruva planet, it goes into the Saptarishi planet, the seven rishis planet it went. And then it goes into the heavenly planets like moon and all that. You know, it inundates, fills, just a few drops, understand. And then what happens? It goes on the top of Brahmapuri, Mount Meru or Brahmapuri. We are going to have an extensive study, right? After this class, you should have pretty much a good idea about Brahmapuri and the Ganges. Okay? That is my point. We'll try. Because I wanted to understand before I even talk. Okay? Reading is different and explaining is different. I can just read like that and go away. But I did not understand. I thought, what would be the best way? Not only I understand, but everyone could understand that, isn't it? So, we'll do something later. Little bit later. So, it comes to Brahmapuri. Then, at the Brahmapuri, at the top of Mount Meru, there are 8 principal residents of the demigods. Starting with Lord Brahma's planet, or the Brahma's abode in the middle, which is known as Brahmapuri. At Brahmapuri, the Ganges falls right through and it splits, that is what this verse says. It split into 4 branches. North, South, East, West. And this is the whole description we are going to see. Yeah? 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. All these verses talks about not only the Ganges branches out into 4 divisions, how it folds, how it comes down from the Brahmapuri, which is the top, to the mountain and then onto the saltwater ocean. Because if you see, the Bhumandala, yeah, the Bhumandala is basically horizontal plane and vertical plane. We are going today to see the horizontal plane. Yeah? Horizontal plane consists of consecutive circles. Yeah? There are 9 islands. And the low, or the what you call the smallest, is Jambudvip. And that we are going to study. See? Okay? So there are a lot of islands. 7 islands, isn't it? Yeah? 7 islands are there. Out of the 7 islands, Dvipa, we are going to see the innermost, smallest Jambudvipa. And just that Jambudvipa itself is so elaborate. Okay? Imagine the outer 6 more vipas, how it is. For example, our Jambudvipa is covered by salt water. So that is what we are seeing. So the Ganges flows and then goes into the salt water on the outside of the Jambadvipa. Now before we go further, the modern science, the technology, whatever the scientific word, the professor is here, the science is interested in basically two things, correct? Yes? Or more things. Basically, in a broader sense, what are the two things? They want to know the cosmology. How this universe is created, how it is suspended, how it is working. Is the sun going around? Is the moon going around? Is the earth moving around? Is the earth flat? Is it global? All this, they are breaking the head. This is known as cosmology. They are interested. And the second thing they are interested is history of mankind. How did man come? Did he come from a monkey? Or there was a big bang theory? Or is it created by the Lord? Who is the Lord? If a Lord is a person like us, how can he create? We cannot create even, a big sun. How can we create? All these speculations. So, they have been speculating from time immemorial. These two things, basically. There may be many things. But if you really see, everything boils down to these two aspects. And therefore, our Srimad Bhagavatam gives answer for all of these, including the two. Yes? So it gives us cosmology from chapter 3 onwards. Little bit here and there. And 5 gives an elaborate study of cosmology. And then, if you see the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is, you can say, up to 6th canto, is the story of mankind, Manu. His family members, how the lineage is continuing till and we are here in Kali Yuga. So this lineage is even brought out. But Srimad Bhagavatam gives an elaborate study of that. That is when we should read Srimad Bhagavatam, if not as a spiritual, at least for our inquisitive nature. So that we'll develop it and then we'll go and study more into that. Then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about taking bath in sacred rivers. Rivers. So what does Srila Prabhupada talk about it? He's talking about Chankranti and all that. Right? Isn't it? Now, we all of us know that there is also one festival known as Kumbh Mela. I did some small research just to find out. Otherwise, there's no opportunity for us to see. Kumbh Mela, there are 4 types of Kumbh Mela. Do you know them? Do anyone know them? 4 types of them. I was surprised. Kumbh Mela is the confluence or the meeting point of 3 great rivers. Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. That is why it's so powerful. But in Kali Yuga it is said that Saraswati is not there. Isn't it?
Disappeared.
But they say that underneath or whatever. But anyway, that's a point. But nevertheless, it is there actually. For our visual eyes it may be disappearing, but it is there because it's got its spiritual form. The first Kumbh Mela is known as Kumbh Mela. There is no additional name. And that happens every 3 years. For example, if it happens in 2001, the next one will be 2004. Like that, every 3 years. That is just Kumbh Mela. The second one is Ardha Kumbh Mela, which happens once in 6 years. We are not going into the meaning or what is the benefit, but we are just saying different types. Then, the third one is known as Punya. Punya Kumbh Mela. Purna Kumbh Mela, which is done in every 12 years. You have to wait. Then, the last one is Maha Kumbh Mela, which is happening in every
12 years.
After 12 again, how the 12 will come? If 9 will not come, 10 will not come, right? After 12, you know. See, our scientist is trying to change this. Typical scientist, right? Whatever we say, he will take ulta. 144 years, once in a lifetime. I don't live for 144 years. Although, I would have lived not in this body, correct? My body is changing. So this body, I cannot live 144 years. Therefore, once in a lifetime only, this Maha Kumbh Mela is happening. That is why it is so much popular and all that. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned. But as also we know, that in the Kumbh Mela, which is happening, whichever may be, whether 3 years or 6 years or 144 years, ISKCON preaching is going on. Srila Prabhupada wanted this basic two things, right? Harinama and book distribution. People come there to take bath and get impersonal liberation. But Srila Prabhupada, look at this, his deed, his activity. Yeah? They come and hear the holy name and take the books and they will transport it to scripture. No impersonal liberation. Why? Because go to Krishna. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mood. Today, especially, one chapter has been dedicated to Ganga, Mother Ganges. And we see that previously, all the speakers, 3-4 days back, you know, they all glorified Ganga. So there is nothing for me to glorify. They gave a very good elaborate glorification of Ganga Devi. Just to illustrate the point that Ganga flows from the spiritual sky to the material sky. Or the material realm. So powerful she is, and she spread everywhere. That is what we are going to see there. We are going to see here today. Yeah? So powerful it is, everywhere is Ganga. You are going to understand that very soon. That how it's so powerful. Just a few drops coming from the thing turned into a big thing, and then annihilates a whole year, you know, through a planet, Saptarishi, Brahmapuri, then into that, it splits into four with a great force. Where is the water coming from? And then it goes into the salt water. So, shall we understand that now? From verse number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah? So, I want this also. So, what we do is, so that we, so this is based on the two topologies. Okay, one is, as I said, no, we are talking only about Jambadvipa. Okay, we are going to illustrate that in a model. I know it is small, but all I'm saying is, it says about 9 varshas, 9 mountain and major rivers, and this is what is Jambadvipa. Okay, this one. We are going to see that shortly. You know, that will be very clear to you. So what we do is, yes, Prabhu, you can take it, Prabhu. No worries. Wait, you want. And this one, so.
Thank you.
Prajaj, you can show that. This is Jambadvipa, and then this is the Jambadvipa, the smallest circle, inner circle of the Bhumandala. Okay, this is the one. Okay, now what we do is, see, this is Mount Meru. Yeah? Mount Meru is This is, I've tried it, okay? Because I'm not an engineer or anything, but trying, okay? So that we understand. Now, Mount Meru is shorter at the bottom and it goes like that, approximately dimension, okay? Now, this Mount Meru is sitting in the center, right? Center of the Varsha, okay? And that Varsha where it is sitting is known as Ilavrata, okay? Ilavrata Varsha, okay? Now, before we go, see, this Mount Meru, we can handle it. But real Mount Meru, you cannot handle. Yeah? Now, at the top, you can see, yeah, there are 9 principal abodes. Can you see? The center one is Brahma's abode. The center one. This one. Now, this is, the other abodes are only 1/4 of Brahma's abode. Okay? Now, this is one, and we have got principal deities. Principal demigods. For example, on the top, yeah, on the top of Brahma, on the north side, is Kubera's planet, Kubera's abode. Just right at the bottom, south, is Yamadharmaraja's abode. And onto the east is Varuna's abode. Onto the west is Indra's abode. You understand what I mean? This is at the top of Mount Meru. Even if you have a rocket, you cannot reach. Correct? See how Krishna, and this whole thing, don't underestimate it. Of course, this is a foam, but this is all made up of gold, real Mount Meru. And what, could anyone tell me the height of Mount Meru? How many yojanas?
86,000
yojanas. Just imagine how tall. It's made up of only gold. In that, if you get 8 kgs gold, we are okay. No, I'm just saying. But Prabhupada, for the service of Krishna, okay, we don't want to take it. We take more prasadam, more opulent prasadam can be given, right? Yeah. And we don't charge for the, you know, the catching. You know, like that. That's all. Anyway, so it's clear now. Now, understand that Ganges is going to, right through, it is going to fall on Lord Brahma's abode known as Brahmapuri. Okay, is it clear? Now you are clear with that. Now this is sitting on the Ilavrata. Okay? If you can come a little bit closer, if you want to, you can understand. We can see. Then, you can see at the top or in front of Mount Meru is Neela Mountain. Mountain Neela is there. And then above that, okay, this is what I said. On the western side is Malyavan, is here. Okay? And on the Hemakuta is just at the back side of Mount Meru. This is Hemakuta. Okay? And then beneath Hemakuta is Himalaya. Okay? Underneath Himalaya is Bharatvarsha. Right? Then, this is, Shweta is at the top. See, you can see how the Ganges, all these descriptions are coming. Okay? And then, this is Nishada. Nishada is here. Okay, these are all mountains. And then, finally, you got Shringava. Okay? Yeah? Then where is the Gandhamana? Okay, Gandhamana. Okay, this is what is? Gandhamana is here. And now you can see Gandhamana is on the east, right? So that is why we corrected that. Then, what happens is, the Ganges, when it comes down and hits, okay? I want to see the description. It says that, okay, verse number, okay, we are reading from verse number 5 onwards, okay, so that to be clear. Verse number 5, I'm reading the translation. On the top of Mount Meru, the Ganges divides into 4 branches, okay, each of which gushes into different directions, east, Understand, east, west, north, south. Okay? These branches are known by the name Sita, Alakananda, Chakshu and Bhadra. Okay? And that is why I need this one to clearly tell me. Now, okay, now Mount Meru is there. Okay, as we go, we move on. Okay, verse number 6 says, the branches of the Ganges, known as Sita, flows to Brahmapuri, Mount Meru, and from there it rushes down to the nearby peaks of Kesara Mountain, which stand as high as Mount Meru itself. These mountains are like the bunch of element around Mount Meru. From the Kesara Mountain, Ganges falls to the peak of Gandama. So Sita is going Gandama. This is Ganges. Yeah?
Oh, it's a big one.
Ganges in glass.
Now Sita. See, Sita is going into the Gandamadana.
Really?
Yeah? And then it goes into the sea water, into the ocean. Then, that is the, so the, in the purport is written as, sorry, in the text is given as west. So, it is east, correct? Okay. Now, the eighth one is the branches of seven. The branch of the Ganges, known as Chakshu, fall onto the summit of Malyavan. See, Malyavan is there. And from the cascade onto the land of, see, Ketumala. See, can you see Ketumala here?
Yes.
Ketumala. The Ganges flows inconsistently to Ketumala in the way it reaches the ocean of salt water in the west. See here, west. So Chakshu, sir. Chakshu, sir. Folds close like that and goes here. Yeah? And then that is seven. Eight is the branch of the Ganges known as Bhadra flows from the northern side of Mount Meru. It waters falls onto the Kumuda Mountain. See, Kumuda, Mount Neela, Sweta, and then Sringavan, and then crosses over the line and flows into the ocean of
salt water.
Salt water, correct. So this is Bhadra. Now it's clear, isn't it? So this is the north. It goes over all these regions. Yeah? But importantly, the last one, which is the south, right? This is where Bharatvarsha, all the incarnation of the Lord is being incarnated in this land, the holy tract. And therefore, much importance. See how Krishna is deciding that. Much importance given. Because in that land, the Ganges is divided into, see this approximately you can see. See, in all the other areas, right, it is only one branch. But here if you see, the branch of Ganga divided into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which is known as Sindhu, Saraswati, Yamuna, Ganga, Gandaki, Koshi and Brahmaputra. See, there is a lot. That is why India is so powerful, because we have got, as Srila Prabhupada said in the purport, we have got different sacred places to take part. They can do, the people of India can do so. And that is as good as performing Rajasuya and Ashwamedha Yajna. Rama, Lord Rama did Ashwamedha Yajna. See? So powerful. But for us, you know, Hare Krishna Madhura is enough. So, now if you see that, see, this is Alakananda. Okay? Now Alakananda has got how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. See, seven tributes are there. So if you see, if you come here and see, Bharatvarsha has got all these are going into the Bharat Varsha only. Like for example, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah?
Nice.
It is all going into that. If you see at the other places, it goes into the, only one stream is going. But with the Bharat Varsha, can you see? There are 7 streams here. Wait 1 second, I'll move it on. Can you see the 7 streams here? This is the power of our holy place, track the plan. And that's why the Lord chose to come to India. Yeah? So now it's clear, isn't it? How between the mountain, the area is known as Varsha. And it has to go through that area. On the mountain caches so much power, and then it is goes, and you can see that this is the smallest circle of Bhumandala. Bhumandala, imagine it has got 7 islands like this, and that is Bhumandala, which is horizontal surface. And then we have got a vertical one, 14 planetary systems. Yeah? All the demigods are there, and Ganges is there. Now if you see, can you see that Ganges is everywhere? So, Ganges is a pathway. Verse number 1 to 10, you can say it's a pathway of Ganges from the spiritual sky to the material realm. How it is flowing. Not all the rivers are coming from the spiritual sky. But here there's a description, and one chapter has been allocated for this one.
Then it will complete if you put some water.
If I put some water, then all my, you know, my turmeric will come away. So I was just talking about this, the sacrifices, right? So if you take bath in Ganga, your sins will go away, and therefore. It's okay. And therefore, we will get liberation. A liberation where Krishna is not connected will not lead to a liberation in Krishna's abode. For example, a liberation which is disconnected from Krishna will lead to impersonal liberation only. But, just by taking bhajana, so people don't want to practice Krishna consciousness. You can take bath, dump a sin, and you are free, you get liberated. That means you don't get any more bodies. That's the logic. But as a devotee, we are not interested in that. Yeah? Any liberation. We want to do only devotion service. And therefore, at the end of the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which you study, Prabhu, what is Krishna saying? Attaining the Supreme? What does he say? He says there are 2 paths. The path of light and the path of darkness. Now before we go further, see, you have to understand how the cosmology works. The earth is spinning slowly, yeah? One spin is one day like that, right? Isn't it? Is that correct? And it goes around the axis. Now in that, sun is also spinning, going around the world. Yeah? But when the sun travels towards the north, yeah, where there is Capricorn, you know, when it goes to the north, then the days are longer, and that is known as the path of light. The path of light. Now, if you leave and that path, you get liberation, which is impersonal liberation. You will not have come back. But if you leave in any other time or any other period. Like for example, when the sun is traveling towards the south and all that, which is known as a dark period, where winter becomes more like now, then that is known as a path of darkness. And there, you will go and enjoy the heavenly planet like this, and then come back. You have to come back to the earth. So this is the power. But, Krishna is saying at the end of the 8th chapter that for my devotees, it does not matter. Very clearly it says, Lord, it does not matter what, when you leave, how you leave. Does not matter. Because he has already, you know, moved the file. For other people, the file is to be processed. You understand? For the devotee, the file is already processed. That's what he is saying. So you don't worry about it. So that is assurance given by the Lord. So this, everything is revolving, you know, around this Bhoomandala, which is again part, one fourth of the creation of the material world. Interesting enough. You know how in the start, next to Himalayas, right, is that Bharatvarsha, right? And it's said that in the future verses that in that place only is a place of activities, right? For example, if you do a good activity, you get good results. If you do a bad activity, you get bad results. And according to that, you are come here to enjoy or suffer in the Bharatvarsha. But you know what? In all the other varshas here, for example, Kim Purusha Varsha, Harsha Varsha, and other varshas, right, at the top, they are as good as heavenly planet. See, this is heavenly planet. This heavenly planet is almost matching Bhauma heavenly planet, which is on the out of the 9 varshas, you leave Bharat Varsha. 8 other varshas, the enjoyment is like heavenly planets. If I go to Ilavrata, Shiva is the only person there. All the people are female. If anyone goes into Ila Varsha, you will be converted into a female. This is all there. But we cannot go. We have to go only by pious activity. With the petrol, you can go only certain kilometer. Yeah? But with the pious credits, you can go many kilometers. Many, you know, long distance. So it is said that so much enjoyment is there in all the other 8 varshas. Our varsha is where we are struggling, suffering. So imagine the sinful activity we have done. But out of that, we got Krishna consciousness. That is the gift. Yeah? Other varshas, it is not described. It may be there, I don't know. Krishna consciousness not mentioned. But in that Bharat Varsha only, I think the Lord is coming. Yeah? Isn't it? That's my understanding. Maybe I have to. Every day, every Varshas has got the presiding deity. Yeah? For us, our presiding deity is? Vamanadevi. Is it? For our presiding deity. Okay. So every Varsha has got a presiding deity. But whether Krishna comes, we don't know. You know? And that too, Krishna comes only in one day of Brahma. 1,000 yuga life cycles, Krishna comes once. And Krishna has just come 5,000 years back. So therefore, it's a very good opportunity for us to know. Yeah. Now, is there any question based on this? Lot of questions. I cannot create anything. It's just a
just so, problem.
It appears like the earth is like a planet, you know, in the sky. It seems like the earth is like a planet floating in the sky. But then on this picture, it appears like that the earth is like a piece of land on an island. That's what I said. The earth has got horizontal and the vertical. You know, if you go into an aeroplane, it is flying, okay? But don't you think the surface is horizontal or it's spinning? It's like that, you know, just a mundane example. A plane has got a surface and it's got a height, you know. It's a three-dimensional one. Basically, it has got a horizontal plane and a vertical plane. In the vertical, you keep all the luggages and all that. And then horizontal is there where you put the, where you can sit down, right? On your chair. It is like that. So any structure inside has got horizontal and vertical. So it is like that. Although it is small. This is a horizontal place. On that, Mount Meru is on the smallest Jambadvipa. And it is there. All the other Varsha, it's not there.
Like if we see pictures from NASA, that's like the, you know, the Earth is like a planet and there's like heaps of space.
Probably that is different. We are not comparing NASA. This is talking about Srimad Bhagavatam. We are just going by reference to Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? We are not putting the material science and mixing. I don't know. I'm not capable. I can only give explanation based on Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Isn't it? Yeah? That is what we are illustrating now. To understand Srimad Bhagavatam better. Why do you think we are doing that? See, I can talk this 4 or 5 verses. Did you understand? But now you know how, from Brahma Puri, how it's growing. Brahma, it's spread everywhere, Ganges, and the tributaries are growing only in India.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, say Sindhu, Saraswati, Yamuna, Ganga, Gandaki, Koshi and Brahmaputra. 7 branches are only for India. So powerful, all the rivers. So, but who knows NASA, what diagram they're giving? I don't know. Sorry, I cannot answer. Yeah. Anything, question based on this?
Well, I just wanted to say that I was listening to a lecture by Bhav Maharaj, and that's what he says, that how to correlate modern understanding with Vedic cosmology. Because Vedic cosmology makes perfect sense, and then we hear something else with the modern thing. So, and he said, I haven't found any.
Matching. And that is why Srila Prabhupada wanted cosmology, you know, Vedic, centered Mayapur. He wants all the people to come there, and once they have the, you know, good understanding, then they take a Krishna culture seriously. You know? There's a faith they'll build up. Right now, everyone is pushed towards the modern science. Yeah? They say, we have got a diagram. The earth is like that, which we believe. But who knows, you know, what the diagram is. But here, you know, it's a fact. If Bharat Varsha means, Bharat Varsha is there. So why not we believe other Varshas are there, right? So, I could not even comprehend when I was reading. In that, the 9 other Varshas are so opulent, I believe. So much enjoyment, opulences. In this Bhumandala only, and there are other 6 islands. One with filled with milk, yogurt, honey, alcohol. Alcohol is actually maybe somaras, I think, not our spirit or something. No? Maybe when they say all, it says one of the picture alcohol. I was wondering what is it? Maybe some rasa, somarasa or something. It's all Vedic, again Vedic only. So, for example, we go to the Saint Kilda beach and take some milk and drink. Or take some mango juice and drink, and you don't have to buy it. You know, just go, you know, whatever it may be. So, it's not possible for us because we are put into that. Yes, Prabhu, you got a question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.